Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Recent results from the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study have placed the economic impact of nonprofit arts organizations in the state into perspective. Last week, we talked about the impact in the greater Sioux Falls region. Today, we take the conversation statewide. Joining us now, Jim Spears, Executive Director of Arts South Dakota. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Kara.
Welcome back. And also
Is it, I'm sorry, Lori. I said Kara.
It's all right. It's Lori. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, also, good to talk to you.
Also with us, Pepper Massey, Executive Director of the Rapid City Arts Council. Pepper, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Is it Massey?
Yes, correct.
All right. We've got all of us on the right page now. And Jimmy, let's start with you and talk about this study. What's the significance of it? How big of a study is this really?
Well, it's major. It's really the largest study of its kind nationally. It's done by Americans for the Arts, and this is their fifth economics study. And the last one, just to give you some perspective on the growth, the last one included like 180 sectors or study regions, Lori, and this one includes 340. Mm-hmm. So it's really growing. They've studied, Americans for the Arts studied 340 regions in all 50 states, including District of Columbia. Communities included population centers of 1,500, so very small rural areas, up to 4 million. Over 14,000 arts orgs were studied, and over 200,000 audience or attendees were surveyed during their visits to these various organizations or events. So it's pretty massive. It's when you start to look at it in the perspective of the numbers there, it's a major study.
And Jim, I've been reading through some of this, and I'm wondering, is there methodology that we need to understand to sort of get the overall impact of this, or just do we look at the results and sort of what they discovered?
Well, it's pretty in depth, and I mean, I'd probably send that question over to Pepper in terms of methodology, because she lived it for the last year. But it's you know, the study, the way they track results, the number of attendees that are surveyed after attending events, the way they look at spending not only by the arts organization in terms of, you think about, you know, things that maybe don't occur to us, but like arts organizations do a lot of printing. They buy a lot of technology for you know, online ticket purchases and websites. Just maintaining buildings. Pepper can tell you about having to maintain the doll. It's a lot of money spent by the arts organizations themselves. But then Americans for the Arts went really in depth and looked at what our audience is spending beyond just the ticket price. So beyond the cost of actually going to the event itself. You know, when you think about travel, you know, overnight lodging, meals, childcare, buying gifts and souvenirs in the towns that you may visit for one of these arts events, clothing, you know. So there's a lot of comparable data that went into establishing these numbers. And the other thing I'll say is that the numbers were not inflated at all. So Americans for the Arts only studied actual results. They did not take results and then estimate numbers for organizations or for regions that maybe did not participate in the study. So these are conservative numbers, to say the least.
Pepper, let's talk a little bit about the methodology then that you've lived for the past year before we get into actually the results and what we know now that we might not have before.
The study was essentially two-pronged. Arts organizations participated on one level, and audience participated on another. So there were essentially two surveys that were pushed out. We, as a study partner, the Rapid City Arts Council, learned who all of the arts and culture nonprofits were in the Black Hills region. each of those organizations, we supplied a list to Americans for the Arts. The point of contact and Americans for the Arts, as well as the Rapid City Arts Council, sent them the survey and urged them to, it was a multi-page survey, to take about 30 minutes out of their day and fill in all of the information, not only your expenditures, but what your income was, how many employees you had, et cetera, et cetera. We discovered about 120 organizations in the Black Hills region. And from that initial group, about 70 participated. And then there was the audience intercept survey. Audience members at events were asked to take a moment, fill out one page, asking them what they spent. What did they do prior to coming? What were they going to do after they came? What was the cost of their ticket? Then some other questions. But really trying to get down to what was this costing you to come to this event? If it was a free event, did you go and have a meal? Did you, are you paying a babysitter? Did you have to pay for parking? Are you going out afterwards? Are you in the area? We live in a somewhat rural area. Are you in the area spending the night as a result of this function? We collected almost 700 of those studies from the Black Hills region in all parts of the region. It wasn't just taken at the Dahl Arts Center, the facility that we manage, but we went throughout the region, Matthews Opera House in Spearfish. We were at the Black Hills Playhouse in Custer, Sturgis at their community center. So we were all throughout the hills, all over, asking audiences at a diverse event. So we weren't only targeting free events. We weren't only targeting ticketed events. We wanted to get a really good perspective of what folks were spending when they came to these events. All of that information over the course of a year was sent back to Americans for the Arts, and they had contracted with an organization called Data Arts, and they crunched all the numbers.
So, Pepper, what do we know now that we didn't know before? What are some of the highlights of the study results?
Well, we know that nonprofit arts and culture industry generates $114 million in annual economic activity in the Black Hills region. I would say that that's a pretty significant resource for our counties. We support about 3,500 full-time equivalent jobs, and we generate about $10 million in local and state government revenues. So we're pretty proud of those results. It doesn't surprise me as much as it might surprise some others, although the numbers were more than I anticipated. But I think those of us that work in this sector understand the impact that we have. But these numbers prove it. And as Jim stated earlier, the numbers are were supplied by the organizations and the individuals that attended events. I wish that we could have enticed, encouraged, persuaded all of the nonprofits in the Black Hills region to participate, but we did not. That tells me that these numbers would be higher.
Jim, when you look at the statewide results, we're talking with Pepper about the Black Hills region. Last week we spoke with Kara Dirksen about the Greater Sioux Falls region. What about the rest of the state? Were things measured in other towns as well, other places?
You know, unfortunately, when the decision was made as to which study regions would participate, the state was not part of one of those studies, the greater state of South Dakota. So we only have our our two regions, East and West, but we can certainly do some estimating, if you will. In fact, for nonprofit arts leaders, administrators, professionals, they can go actually to the Americans for the Arts website, and the Americans for the Arts has created this calculator that allows you to input audience numbers, budget, revenue, things like that, and an output economic activity prosperity study number, an estimated number, of course, will be given to you. So folks in other communities in the state can use that resource on Americans for the Arts website. But this time around, we did not do a statewide study. So, you know, that's something that will be on our list. Arts South Dakota is a young organization. We certainly will be looking at doing that when Americans for the Arts does their next, their sixth AEP study.
Lori, could I just follow up on what Jim said? 5 years ago, the South Dakota Arts Council pushed out this study for the state. This time around, some of us tackled this on our own. There is a price tag that went along with this. In order to participate, the Rapid City Arts Council had to pay about $8,300. That's a large investment. And of course, that was for the region. It would have been somewhat less if we had selected only Rapid City, but it wouldn't have been much less. And I think that would have caused a barrier for many of the organizations in the state. One of the reasons that the Rapid City Arts Council opted in to the region is because we knew that there would be some voices, some important voices to our state and to our nation left out if we didn't step up. And we were able to come up with the funding because of some passionate donors, some support from some of the local arts organizations like the Matthews Opera House and from the John T. Vukovich Foundation.
Jim, let's talk about the usefulness of this information. Now that it's in your hands and you've had some time to look over, how does it change your messaging or the conversations you have about arts in South Dakota?
That's a great question, Lori. You know, I think there's so many reasons that we need to support the arts. And we can talk about those. Those can be a whole nother show, but you talk about them being intrinsic to human life and the way they connect us unlike anything else does. I mean, we're talking globally. The arts are the one thing that can connect our societies. It's part of a well-rounded education. This buzzword of placemaking and community building, the arts are a main factor in that. The 21st century workforce, it's another buzzword, and how creativity is one of the top skills future employers will be looking at. So those are all things that are very important that we could say, hey, any one of those are reasons to support the arts. And the fact that they just make us feel good, right? We just you walk downtown Sioux Falls, you can walk along the Sculpture Walk, and it feels good to be part of that. So all of that is wonderful. But if anybody wants to say at that point, you know, the arts are wonderful, but it's an unaffordable luxury. You know, it's not something that really drives business. That's flat out wrong. So this study turns around and shows us that this is a huge industry for the United States. We talk about shopping local, right? That's another one of those things that we like to talk about. Well, the arts are that shopping local, if there ever was such a thing. You know, the arts are very local. But nationally, this study shows us that the arts and cultural nonprofit sector is a $166 billion industry supporting almost 5 million full-time jobs, and it's generating in government revenue $27.5 billion. So no one can say that the arts are an unaffordable luxury. I mean, this is a major economic driver in our country. So it's a smart investment, not to mention all those other great things I just talked about, which I think lead in terms of placemaking and education and a 21st century economy. The arts just are essential in so many elements. Healthcare, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, in terms of healing, the arts, we're learning that they're a major part of the healing process as well. So this just, I think this just is one more one more talking point, a major one. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think economic activity is certainly something that gets a lot of people's attention, especially political leaders. But it's only one element. And that's one of the things that I like to, whenever I'm out talking to folks, I want to remind people that it goes way beyond dollars. You know, the arts are so much deeper than that. But there is a financial element to it as well. The other thing that I got to throw in there is just, this is another one that's staggering to most people, Lori, is that the arts and cultural sector, which is studied by the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, so this is a main government agency, and this is more than just nonprofits, but this includes for-profit arts as well. It is a $730 billion industry, and it's 4.2% of our national GDP, which is ahead of tourism, it's ahead of construction, it's ahead of transportation. So you look at it in that respect, too, it's just a huge element, a huge economic driver for us in the United States.
Pepper, we'll give you the last word. It's not the last time we'll have this conversation, but our time is short for today. Growth industry, do you think that in the Black Hills region, arts and culture is poised to grow even more? Is there room for that?
Absolutely. The changes that you've seen in this sector in the last 10 years in Rapid City alone is an indicator that we're just at the beginning. Main Street Square, the Performing Arts Center, and of course the sculpture project at Main Street Square. These are just a couple of examples of what's happened recently in the last 10 years in Rapid City. And now these are big projects, and all of the organizations, including the Rapid City Arts Council, but the Journey Museum, the Matthews Opera House, Sturgis, the Heritage Center at Red Cloud, all of these organizations and institutions are continually getting stronger. They're finding new ways to serve the community. They're being responsive to what the community needs and is interested in. And I can only imagine that this is going to take us to the next level. And as Jim said, I want us to remember that while there are all of the warm fuzzies, which usually is what art is boiled down to, I'll take it. It is also business in Rapid City, in the Black Hills region, in the state of South Dakota, and in the nation. All of these organizations give that money back to people in their communities by paying wages, to businesses in the community by who offer services, by paying state and local taxes. We contribute to our communities and to our economy, and we're proud to do it. Hopefully people will understand that when they come and spend time with us and partake and enjoy the arts, that they're giving back and supporting their community as well.
Pepper Massey is Executive Director of the Rapid City Arts Council. Pepper, thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Lori.
Jim Spears, Executive Director of Arts South Dakota. So much more to talk about, Jim. Come again, please.
Absolutely, Lori.